Blog Talk Radio.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know that we all share one thing in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's really going on in this crazy world that's literally falling apart? So welcome to the 507th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is simply 2021 Crisis Update Number 20. And then later in this message, we'll tie it all into how God will literally hold us as true believers together. Yes, together, folks, in body, soul, and spirit, as this crazy, crazy world literally falls apart all around us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24, and I'm just paraphrasing it, folks. I'm not going to read it to you. But it basically says that God himself, who sets everything apart and makes it whole, will set you and me apart and make us whole, praise the Lord, and he'll pull it all together in us, in body, soul, and spirit, and keep us ready for the soon return of his beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because the one who calls us is completely dependable. So if he said it, he's going to do it. So stay tuned to learn how, as true believers, we can trust the Lord to hold us together as everything else falls apart. But the bottom line, folks, is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. And as God's people, we're just passing through because we already have victory in Jesus Christ. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And remember, like I always say, this began, folks, with that lab engineered, and it's been proven now, hasn't it? Media manipulated coronavirus heist. But as always, folks, let's look at one of our past news updates and review a highlight. And now, folks, I'm just going to pick things that we've covered over the last year. I'm not going to go to specific episodes anymore. And I hope you all remember the Roman Catholic priests. In fact, we covered two of them, Father Altman and Father Altpierre. But do you remember the Roman Catholic priest named Altman? We played this clip last year, and I'd like to remind you of what this man said concerning the cowardice of many of the bishops in our country and what's going on with this imposter-in-chief, Joe Biden, who claims to be a man of faith. Listen to Father Altman as he just blasts them.
More of them are being killed every year in the United States of America than the death camp of Auschwitz killed in its entire five-year history, every year after year after year. Oh, it's snowing outside. And on top of that, we've just recently elected a Catholic president, and he is Catholic, he's baptized, he is a member of the family. We've just elected a Catholic president who is diametrically opposed to all of the basic moral principles that are proclaimed by the Roman Catholic Church. Not only abortion and the sanctity of human life, but the sanctity of marriage and this gender silliness. How in the world did that happen? A Catholic. I'll tell you, if he wasn't Catholic, I probably wouldn't be so upset. He's a member of my family. He's the most powerful man in the world. And he is absolutely opposed to the basic understandings that God is the author of life. How in the world did this happen? You want an answer? I'll tell you the answer. Because our bishops have been silent for 60 years. Through bad catechesis and cowardice. They have barely said a thing. A few papers here and there. They speak of, there's things they could do. You say, well, why don't you do something? I'm just a little diocesan priest. I'm a grunt. They're the apostles. They have the voice. I just work for them at their privilege. They can get rid of me tomorrow. How have they allowed this to happen? What is it that they really believe? How poorly have they educated you? Good Lord. Can you imagine if in 2012, Mitt Romney, who was running for president, Mitt Romney, who was a Mormon, a member of the LDS Church, when he was running against President Barack Obama, if he were a cigar-smoking, whiskey-drinking, coffee-drinking Mormon, can you imagine if he had won the presidency? The Mormon Church would have gone apoplectic. This is not a representation of us. They just would have said, oh, no. No, don't look at him. He does not represent what we believe. Probably would have excommunicated him. But what do our bishops do? They just let it snow. I apologize if it sounds like I'm yelling at you. I am angry. It's a righteous anger, the same righteous anger that Jesus had when he drove the money changers out of the temple. He didn't hate those people, but he was outraged with a sense of righteous anger. Righteous anger means I'm incensed at what you are doing to someone else, and I am called to protect. Woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. I have to stand up for this. Jesus had to stand up for his Father's dignity, so he wanted a clean house. And I have this righteous anger. I'm just tired of this. Angry to the point where I am tempted to say this. If you are pro-abortion, I am tempted to ask you to leave St. Henry Parish. Leave this parish. Tempted to say that. Because then I think, where would you go? This is not just this parish that teaches this. This is the Catholic Church. The Holy Catholic Church of God that teaches this. What parish would accept your views? Sadly, you would find one. And that is an indictment against the bishops. God help that parish that would let your ideas foster in their parish. And so instead, I will not ask you to leave. Why? Because this may be your only chance to repent, to change your mind and to come to know the truth and finally embrace it. So I won't ask you to leave. This is your chance for salvation. You are welcome here. Even if you're pro-abortion. But your ideas are not welcome here and they will be given no quarter. The same with Joe Biden. He's a Catholic. He's a member of the family. If for some reason he would be in Buckeye on a Sunday, Joe Biden is welcome to come to Mass here. His ideas are not welcome here. And if you ask me a follow-up question, would you give him communion? No. Over my dead body. Not until he repents. He's a public figure. He needs to publicly repent. And we need to pray for his conversion. He is a member of the family.
Wow. Did he blast those bishops or what? Well, he's in the news again, folks. BigLeaguePolitics.com reports that the bishop asks for the resignation of Catholic priests who blasted the godlessness of the Democrats and allowed parishioners to attend mass without masks. Oh, my, huh? So anyways, his bishop has asked for the resignation of Father James Altman. Now, he's been known for a while on his outspoken views about COVID-19, the scamdemic, the Democratic Party. You heard what he blasted Biden about there. And he's the pastor of the Less Catholic Church in La Crosse, Wisconsin. And he announced on Pentecost Sunday, Callahan asked him to resign last Friday. Now, he's going to get into a battle, a canon law battle, with his bishop And you heard what he said. He's a lowly diocesan priest serving at the mercy and grace of the apostles of the quote-unquote church, which are, in the case of this confession, the Catholic Roman Catholic confession, that would be the bishops. Anyways, his parishioners were shocked at this announcement. And so one of them set up a GoFundMe page, and they set a $20,000 goal so that he could have his legal expenses covered. They've already raised $115,000 as of last Monday, folks. Father Altman, this is a quote from the GoFundMe page, Father Altman has shown courage and strength in his commitment to giving the truth. Then it goes on to say, in a culture that celebrates deception and sin, Father Altman has been a shining light to tens of thousands of faithful Catholics worldwide. And then the description goes on and says, sadly, as we're all aware, our holy priests are being attacked from within. And they are, folks. There's a lot of good and godly men, diocesan churches all around the world. These are good and godly men. I believe many of them are born again. And they are serving, but they are being attacked by the Vatican and the establishment because I'm telling you, folks, the church has been hijacked. But this GoFundMe page goes on and says, it's been our duty and honor as faithful sheep to help our shepherd defend himself. So, you know, Altman's out there speaking against all these atrocities. And then what does the establishment try to do? They try to shut him down. And we see this across the board, folks. In the media, we see it in politics. We see it in medicine. Look at all those doctors, frontline doctors who can't speak. So all I'm asking you to do is as this case unfolds with Father Altman, just pray for him. But we have to keep moving. And now it's time for Sister Kathy's Freaky Deaky. And as always, folks, we get started with the coronavirus heist. The okay, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's back in the news. I don't know if you've heard what she said recently, but she has a message out, and I'm looking for it right now. She's giving an update, folks, on her grave concerns with regard to these vaccines and all the lies being foisted upon us. And we're going to some of that in this update today. But first, I'd like to start with this very recent message from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. I believe she was at some conference down in Texas. It's about a 4-minute clip. Listen to what Dr. Tenpenny has to say.
I'm Sheila Hemphill with Texas Right to Know, and I have the privilege to be with Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, who has decades of research on what exactly is happening in regard to vaccines and what's particularly happening with this COVID vaccine. So, Dr. Tenpenny, thank you for your years of work.
Thank you.
We had an opportunity to listen to her presentation, and there are a couple things I would like for her to highlight to you. Please explain the report of the 2-year-old little boy that had been babysat by his girl.
So here's the thing, is that a lot of people have been talking about, when I'm around someone who's vaccinated, can I contract anything from them? They've called it shedding, which is an inaccurate term. Because shedding means that if I got a chickenpox vaccine and I shed a chickenpox virus to someone else, they would contract chickenpox. What's happening here is we're getting a transmission that we believe is a spike protein that has been created by these injections into people. It's being transmitted to other people without close personal contact. We've had over 11,000 reports of women who had abnormal bleeding, postmenopausal women who started to bleed, women in their 20s, 30s, and 40s who had periods that were like clockwork, they started to bleed, young people who are starting to bleed. And we've had reports of people who have lost 2/3 of their blood volume. Their hemoglobin's gone down to 4. We have a case report of a 22-month-old little girl who spent the weekend with her vaccinated grandparents and came home and was passing vaginal blood clots the size of small eggs. We have the reports of 3- and 4-year-old girls that are in daycare that come home bleeding, and they've had no sexual abuse. This is just bleeding, and their panties are full of blood. This is actually happening. We have reports of cerebrovascular thrombosis. There have been over 117 reports to VAERS. We rarely see one of those a year. And we know that VAERS only contracts somewhere between 1 and 10% of what's actually happening. We now have over 4,000 people that have been killed by these shots, and we have more than 193,000 adverse events reported by this shot alone. VAERS usually gets 30 reports per year on a sum total of 20 shots. This shot has been around since December, so in 5 months, it's killed more than 4,000 people that we know of, and have had more than 193,000 adverse events. That's an FDA database number monitored by the FDA, collected by the CDC. Those are government numbers. We cannot mandate an experimental product that can kill people and harm people, has no long-term studies whatsoever. We are now mandating this. We are now advising that children ages 12 to 15 get this shot. Does anybody have any data on what girls that have started their periods, did they stop? Girls go into puberty at age 12, are they ever going to go into puberty? I talked to a physician last night who works in an urgent care, and she said she's getting 30 to 35 men per week coming into her urgent care talking about testicular swelling and lack of being able to maintain an erection after getting their shots. I get reports 10 to 20 per day from all over the country of people telling me horrendioma stories of people who get one of these injections, and it could be any of the three, not just one of them, who have got their second shot and 8 days later, 10 days later, 15 days later, they're dead. These are deadly weapons. To mandate this for anyone, whether it's a child, whether it's a teacher, whether it's anything to do with anybody in the government, you people who are mandating these things will have blood on your hands. And please don't roll your eyes at me, because that's exactly what's going to happen.
So I would make an appeal to the legislature, the governor, lieutenant governor, and speaker of the state of Texas. Texas is who I see as the hope to bring forth the truth of this deception, to do what you can with your authority to right this wrong and to correct and start the healing which is available, which we've heard about from these wonderful practitioners. We have hope of healing. Visit TexasRightToKnow.com. We will be given instructions on how to contact your legislators. We're in a very short time frame to get our law in place so that no one can mandate an experimental drug on anyone. Thank you. Thank you.
Folks, it's an atrocity. Did you hear the death rates that are being reported on the VAERS website? We've covered that time and time again. Folks, there are orders of magnitude more deaths in these last 5 months than for the past 20 years from over 20 different vaccines. Yet we don't have anything in the news. This is on the level of the atrocities committed in Nazi Germany during World War II. Yet nobody even speaks about it. This is how it happened, folks. It's just a different set of scenarios. It's a different circumstance. And yet everybody turns a blind eye. It's appalling, folks. Chris said at the end of that message from Dr. Tenpenny, there is hope. And this, just out from truth11.com, is there a possible COVID vaccine antidote? It's possible, folks. It hasn't been verified yet, but I'd like you to hear it first here on SDG. There's a possible COVID vaccine antidote out there right now that may help the people that are experiencing these awful side effects. In fact, Dr. Judy Mikovits, she thinks it's possible. Remember, she was the woman, the whistleblower, who was outing or trying to out Fauci and the gang. And she warned us about what was going on in the film, The Plandemic. And she got all sorts of bad press over this, folks. But this drug, which is derived from pine needles, is named Suramin. It's been around for a long time. And people are starting to see that numerous adverse effects from these COVID jabs, like migraines, bruising, irregular periods in women, miscarriages, potential sterility, and even these lethal blood clots that we've heard about. And isn't that ironic, folks? We get all this press for the Johnson & Johnson jab, over six blood clotting fatalities, and I am not minimizing that. What I'm trying to say is, yet we have thousands of other documented deaths and not a peep. There's all sorts of self-reporting groups out there on Reddit and other areas. But let's not forget the federal government's VERA's website has this documented. And what was the study out of the Boston, was it John Hopkins or Boston Consulting Group? Some think tank did a study back in 2012, I believe it was, and they found that the number of adverse effects are reported by a factor of 100. So if you take these numbers and say they're underreported, and they're reporting that 3,000 people have died, you do the math. That's 300,000 potential deaths. Remember, people die every day in terms of above or below the norm. So this is a hopeful thing here with this new drug, Suramin, S-U-R-A-M-I-N. Just keep it in mind, and we'll just pay attention and see what happens over the next month or so concerning this potential anecdote for essentially a snake bite. But, you know, folks, right now I have something very exciting. As you know, I live in one of the most oppressive states through this entire scandal, and that's Pennsylvania. Not only do we have one of these dyed-in-the-wool Democrat diehards, Governor Wolf, but his entire administration was bought by Soros. Anyways, Pennsylvania to lift mask mandate by June 28th, at least. This is out of the from Norristown, PA. The PA health officials this Tuesday said that there's an update to the state's previous plan. You know, this whole narrative about the face masks is falling apart. And we're going to get into more of that in the later portions of this episode. But they can't hold this narrative together anymore, and that's the point. So either when 70% of the adult population had been fully vaccinated, or, and this is what's so crazy, June 28th is reached, the mask mandate will be lifted. And the move comes as the state's vaccination rates all, you know, come into line. This is such an egregious scam. But you know what? There's one good thing. I think people are waking up. Maybe, just maybe. But you know what, folks? There's so much we could cover, but we're going to have to move on because I have some really good information in the later parts. Well, I'm having trouble with my dashboard today. It's just not working. It's time now for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 election. All merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater. The Japanese commies solve. Boo means dance. He means steal from the verb. Kabu means to slam or display. Folks, it's all a lie. It's the flattened curve. The curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down. The velocity of money. Total hyperinflation before we're done. Stealing it all. Trump, bad. Must go. Good is bad. Bad is good. Up is down. Light is dark. It's all Kabuki Theater, folks. Prepping the masses for Agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
Yeah, it's been my prayer every day for over the past year. Lord, please shed your light upon the darkness, from the media to the medicine, to the fake money, to the politicians. We do need people to wake up. But this from the Populist Press, it was out on May 21st, 2021. Georgia judge calls for a forensic audit. Folks, the American people did not elect Joe Biden. That's a fact. You can see it from so many different ways, so many different studies, statistical studies, correlations between voter registrations and total votes cast, these anomalies with regard to precincts and the voter turnout with regard to past elections and the draw just to the rallies and all the fundraisers and the various things. You know, Biden would have 10 people. President Trump would have 10,000, 20,000, 50,000. Anyways, Henry County, Georgia, Chief Judge Brian J. Amaro ordered Fulton County ballots unsealed in a hearing on Friday. He's ordered the parties to appear at the ballot storage facility at 10 a.m. on the 28th. That was, yesterday, I believe. Yep. And the November 2020 ballots will be scanned at 600 DPI or higher. Now, I'm not sure what all of this means, but it looks like they're going to start to see if there is, in fact, a correlation in terms of fraud like they're starting to see over in Maricopa County. Now, there's a lot happening here. So we see that the whole narrative for the face masks and the vaccines are starting to fall apart. We see this whole issue with the voter fraud, and it's happening in other states now, too. This is very, very interesting. And so what usually happens? Well, the deep state, they plan a false flag attack so they can blame the patriots, the anti-vaxxers, gun owners, and people that are in opposition to this false narrative. So Mike Adams over at Natural News, and I haven't been talking about him much lately. You know, Mike, my friend, Street Fighter, these guys are getting into some strange things with regard to faith and belief. And I respect them. I'll support them, but I just can't talk about them. But this is interesting. So I told you these atrocities that we're seeing with regard to the vaccine and some of the practices that are now underway with regard to standards of care. These are these draconian measures are bordering on what the Nuremberg trials outlawed. And so Mike Adams brought that up, and he said, you know, these people are going to need to be tried like some of the Nazi war criminals were after the war. And all of a sudden he gets all this flack, and he gets this call from supposedly a follower in the administration. And he warns Mike Adams to take it down because the feds are planning a false flag to blame anti-vaxxers and gun owners. So Mike was in the process of bringing it down, and he goes on to talk about how these false flags advance the agenda. You know, the New York Times was pushing out tweets that state that anyone who talks about the COVID lab leak is a racist. Yet now look what's happening. There's all sorts of information that's just popping out because you can't keep truth under a basket. You know, Jesus said we're supposed to not cover our light, and it's supposed to be a light on the hill. And then he gives the analogy about us being salt. And if we're not used in the proper way, we'll be cast out and trampled underfoot. So Mike talks about a vaccine push that's going through. And he goes through these five steps. He talks about vaccinating the easy people who just can't wait to get the jab, you know, and then other incentives are being offered and rewards to convince those on the fence. And don't we see that now from free donuts to raffle tickets and all sorts of other things? I guess New York State just announced their first $1 million winner. There's free beer, all sorts of crazy stuff. And then phase three, you punish those who refuse to get vaccinated by taking away their rights to travel and entry. And what you're hearing now from all the government agencies is we're not going to impose any sort of COVID passport. In fact, Pennsylvania is pushing that right now. But whatever private institutions want to do, that's certainly their right. Well, actually, it's not. There's civil right law here in Pennsylvania, which prohibits that. So we're going to see how that unfolds in the courts. But then phase four, they criminalize vaccine resistors by passing mandatory vaccine laws. And then phase five, they actually have gunpoint medicine where they launch door-to-door vaccine squads to forcefully vaccinate people at gunpoint against their will. So right now we're somewhere between phase two and three, and soon we'll be moving into phase four, according to Mike Adams. But folks, you can see all this stuff happening, and it's disturbing. So a couple things that are actual fact. You cannot coerce a person to take something that's under emergency use authorization. So coercion can be pleasant or it can be unpleasant. A pleasant coercion would be giving you a donut for a vaccine. That's coercion. An unpleasant coercion would be putting you in jail or firing you. And that's also happening. So we're going to have to see how this unfolds. Also, you have to have informed consent to actually participate in this. Yet when you look at the information packets that are inside each vaccination, all the pages are left intentionally blank. So I'm telling you, folks, the degree of deceit the egregious deception, the unlawfulness of this entire thing goes beyond anything that I could ever have imagined. But right now, folks, we have to keep moving, and it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. If I can, there she is. Hey, Henrietta. You know, we always talk about homesteading and being outside and prepping and living off the land, so to speak, and that's the most safe place to be in the midst of all this. But if you're thinking about moving from the city out into the country, you need basic skills, and I encourage you, and you can do it, folks. Anybody can do it. You can do it at your local Votech, people that are doing some remodeling. But I just want to go through some of the skills you're going to need if you live out in the country. You're going to need basic carpentry skills. You're going to need to be able to, you know, pound a nail, drive a screw, cut a board, frame a house, you know, frame a shed or a barn. You're going to need to be able to fix a door that comes off its hinge. You're going to be able to need to put a piece of trim back up that falls off, whatever. You're also going to need basic electrical skills. You're going to have to know how to wire a 210 or 220 outlet for, you know, a dryer or a stove. You're going to need to be able to fix a light switch. You're going to be able to need to wire in a lamp outside on the barn. Basic skills. Replace a breaker switch in your main panel. Those sorts of things. I'm not talking about wiring in a three-phase motor, but you need to understand those basic. And when you're dealing with electricity, you need to have safety first. And then also plumbing. You're going to need the basic plumbing skills. And if you do have a deep well or some sort of well to, you know, pump to pump your water, you got to understand how to manage and maintain that system also. And then let's not forget mechanics. You know, you're going to be able to work on a tractor. I was clearing a field about 10 years ago, and I threw a track on my John Deere crawler, and you have to fix it. So I had to put the track back on in the muddy field. You have to be able to work on your car, and let's not forget appliances. You know, what do you do when the washing machine goes down? Folks, what I'm telling you is you need to be a jack of many trades, even though you may be a master of none. Oh, and then let's not forget your lumberjack skills. We've talked about that in the past. What do you do when that tree falls across your driveway and you have to get to work or you have to get out to get supplies? My point is that you really need to hone your skills and learn to be independent. And if you have any questions or you're interested in doing this, email me at kdbear1961@gmail.com and I can get you some good literature. I can possibly answer some questions. But Terry and I did it, folks, 30 years ago, and I would never even consider living any other way. So I encourage you to get out of these cities, find some land. You don't need a lot. You can live a life of independence. And short of Armageddon or the return of Jesus, you're going to be much better off than the people in the city. But right now, folks, it's time for our Hopium Report. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium. So you heard that news update I covered from PolitiFact that there's a judge in Georgia that's calling for the ballots to be unsealed. Well, now there's a Georgia State Senator, Burt Jones, asking the governor to call a special session to consider decertifying, and this is why it's in the Absurdian Report, folks, decertifying the November election if the allegations prove true. So why isn't this in the Kabuki Theater update? Well, you know, I think this is false hope. And there's a radio host, John Fredericks. He was on Steve Bannon this week in the War Room. Actually, it was on Monday, and he reported that Georgia Senator Burt Jones may call a special session to consider decertifying the vote in Georgia. And if this happens, we're going to get into some uncharted territory. Now, they have recourse in place for elected officials other than the president. So what happens if this actually happens? I don't know. I really don't know. But I thought, listen to John Fredericks on Bannon, and if this isn't hopium, I don't know what is, but just listen to John Fredericks.
Senator there, if the judge makes, Judge Amaro makes a declaratory judgment that counterfeit ballots were there and that some of them were counted twice. That's the other possibility here, that he's going to demand that Governor Kemp call a special session, and they're going to start decertifying elections. Trump, Biden. Second one, U.S. Senate, Purdue, likely won in the first ballot. Why is Ossoff there? Why was there a runoff? Number three, a House seat, 7th District, 400 of votes separated the Democrat winning. Plus, there were a number of seats in the Georgia House that were under 200 or 300. All of those are going to call for a special session to be decertified. Steve, this is unbelievable what is going on.
I know. Hang on. I'm going to keep...
You know, God bless them, folks, and I do know there's fraud, but this system is so entrenched, I really don't think it's anything more than hopium. But here's another one over at Before It's News. Boom, Georgia's first to decertify 2020 election. Q plus Trump, I caught him. Things will get very interesting. Watch Arizona. So this report over from Before It's News is breaking, and it's more of this Georgia hopium. You know, Trump asked the question, how can Joe govern when he's lost? I caught the swamp. It's about to get very interesting. Watch Arizona. And then this report goes on to say Trump will soon return. I don't know about that, folks. I really don't. Now, he won't return, and this is in this report. Not as the president of the corrupt U.S. corporation, but rather as the president of the new Republic of the United States. And in this new American Republic, we the people will have all the power. There is no federal income tax, exclamation point. You know, come on, folks. And America returns to the gold standard. Welcome to the Great Awakening. Nothing can stop what is coming. Nothing. Enjoy the show.
Shazam!
Yeah, exactly, Gomer. Shazam. You know, I call that all hopium. There's a documentary out on Tubi, and it's called We Are All Controlled. And it goes through the entire history of modern humanity and explains how the powers that be have always controlled the masses. I encourage you to watch it, folks. It's essentially what Bill Cooper taught me 30 years ago. But it's an eye-opener if you don't know about it. So that's why I call this stuff hopium. You know, the hopium was pretty heavy this week, but you know what's even heavier? The absurdian, the absurd, the craziness that's out there. So now, folks, it's time to look into the absurdian.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater. But fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Gateway pundit. Whitmer, after getting caught violating her own COVID orders at a dive bar named the Landshark. So on Monday, Whitmer was crammed at a table. She was caught with many other maskless people violating her own COVID guidelines for social distancing and number of people permitted to gather together. And this is what Witless Whitmer had to say in her little feigned apology. Listen to this. It's absurd.
So I'll just say this. You know, I put out a statement. I wrote that statement. It is, you know, it was an honest mistake, and I have apologized for it. I think that we have specifically not gone forward and penalized businesses that are trying to
Liar.
Do the right thing. It's those
Liar.
That have flouted and put people's safety at risk that, you know, are the most concerning. But you know, I don't know that there's a lot more for me to add at this point in time other than those former Spartans, or I guess you're a Spartan for life, who know the establishment should be aware that it's now a restaurant and they have pretty good pizza. Next question. Yeah.
You can't make this stuff up, folks. Now, speaking of good food, or should I say food, did you hear this report? It was on the mainstream media this week. You know, the cicada bloom or whatever they refer to it. We had ours last year and another one. There's the 17-year, the 23-year. There's all these different cicadas. But this from CBS News about eating bugs. So many people look at these creatures, and they do look kind of like Jonathan Kleck's locust from hell. There's an ick factor. But Jess Fanzo explains that you can chow down on these bugs, and they're actually a staple across the world, and it's key to protecting the environment. So the establishment wants to move us back to this feudal system, folks, and they want us to eat bugs. Listen to this clip. It's 5 minutes, but it's just absurd.
Millions of cicadas are swarming the eastern half of the U.S. The brood 10 cicadas have so far been spotted in several states and Washington, D.C. They only appear every 17 years, and this year's emergence is expected to be massive. While some people may be dreading their arrival, there are actually some food enthusiasts that are thrilled to finally be able to eat one of the elusive insects. For more on this, let's bring in Jessica Fanzo. She is a professor of food policy and ethics at Johns Hopkins University. Jessica, first of all, let's start off by having you explain what's so special about the brood 10 cicadas.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's great to be here. They're really important. It's an incredible moment. These insects have been, they're one of the longest living insects. They're emerging after 17 years of living underground patiently. And it's a true testimonial to nature's resilience. You know, with all the major challenges we face, climate change, urbanization, loss of the plentiful biodiversity, it's incredible that they've survived. So it's a great story to witness in real time. The last time we saw these little critters was 17 years ago, and they have just a couple of weeks to come above ground, mature, woo their mates, breed, and then die.
Well, I happen to be one of the people that actually really likes the cicadas because I have fond childhood memories of them, but I got to be honest with you, Jessica. The idea of eating them doesn't sound particularly appealing to me, so try and convince me and any other viewers out there who feel the same way I do. Tell us how cicadas actually became a delicacy.
Yeah, your reaction is totally understandable. You know, most people in the United States and in Europe don't really consume insects. There's the ick factor. But when we think about, you know, the 2 billion other people that consume different types of insects around the world, in Mexico, they consume grasshoppers known as chapulines. Sub-Saharan Africa, termites, ants, locusts, Southeast Asia, they consume water bugs. Really common around the world to consume insects seasonally for their taste, for their nutritional importance. And even here in the United States, historically, some Native American populations consumed cicadas in times of hardship when their land was taken from them and they faced starvation. So for some Native American populations, these foods have a historical importance for their survival. But it's all about what you're used to, what's acceptable, what's the stigma. And so it's your reaction is a natural one.
Without judgment, I'll come to it with an open mind. Also because eating cicadas, I understand, is not only good for you, but it's also good for the environment. Why don't you go ahead and explain that to us?
Yeah, so cicadas obviously have important nutritional relevance. They're high in protein. And of course, these cicadas, these brood 10s, these three different species, we don't really know the nutritional content of those. As far as I can tell, they've not been studied. So there's a call out there for researchers. But when we look across all insects, many of them range from 20 to 70% of protein, very similar pound for pound to red meat, high in iron and zinc. So they're really important nutritionally. But as you said, as the planet warms due to climate change, We need to think about our diets, food systems, the way we produce food, the way we move food around the world is contributing to 30% of total greenhouse gas emissions. That is significant, like transportation, like our energy use. So what can we do? Well, we can change the way we produce food. Livestock particularly contributes a lot of greenhouse gas emissions, but they also are a major cause of deforestation and biodiversity loss. So what can we replace beef with, or at least decrease our consumption of some of these intensive environmental footprint type foods? Insects, along with smaller animals like chicken and seafood, plant-based proteins, all play a role not only for our nutritional needs, but for treading more lightly on the planet. And so insects are a great alternative source. And if for those that are more adventurous, they can try out some of these cicadas and get a taste for them. And they are truly, as my sister had said, this is definitely an alternative source of protein.
Well, we do know, Jessica, they are plentiful. All right, Jessica Fonzo, thank you.
Sorry, I had my mic off, folks. I don't even know where to start. You know, that woman, Jessie Fonzo, she didn't sound very convincing herself. And did you hear where she works? Johns Hopkins. And then she admits, we don't even know the nutritional content, yet eat them. Eat them. And then she gets into her little narrative, false narrative on man-made gas emissions. Well, actually, she said CO2 emissions. Well, she was referring to man-made for the transportation, you know, production and transportation of food. But she failed to mention that out of the Rio Summit, which we covered on here. I wonder if I even can find that clip. You know, we have some time here. Let me see if I can find the Rio Summit. Rio. Guesting down. Nope. You know, I wish the search function on here was a little bit better, but it's not a very good. I'm going to try one more thing, CO2, if we can find that clip. No, can't find it. Maybe next week we'll play it. But remember that the man-made gas emissions are about 5, maybe 10% of total CO2 emissions that come from all natural causes. And the Earth has its own regulating system with the ocean and carbonate and the cycling of CO2 from gaseous to solid through the carbonates in the water. This is crazy, folks. Absurdium. That's why it's here. Now, one more. Did you hear what happened this week with the clowns in Washington? So we have this social influence or some... I don't even know what it identifies as, but it's a trans named Manny Moi. Well, Manny got to do an interview with Imposter-in-Chief Biden and Fauci, the fraud Fauci. And I just like, and it was all about, you know, getting everybody to get behind the vaccines and, you know, this whole BS narrative. But just listen to, I don't know how long I'm going to be able to stomach this, but this is absurd. Listen to it.
Hey, guys. Welcome back to my channel. So the title of this video, it is not a drill. I am literally going to Zoom with Dr. Fauci and President Biden right now. Oh, my God. I just want to say huge thank you to my team for making this happen. I'm so, so excited. We're basically going to be talking about the vaccine and talking about different, you know, the COVID vaccine, obviously COVID-19 vaccine. And I hope some of these questions do answer your guys' questions if you guys want to get the vaccine or not. This is not to be like, you have to get the vaccine. This is not that kind of video. I'm just going to be asking the president some questions about COVID vaccine. You know, whether you guys want to get it or not, that's absolutely up to your prerogative for sure. I, of course, am fully vaccinated myself and I absolutely recommend getting vaccinated. But, you know, America, land of the free will. You can do whatever the heck you guys want to do. But of course, I am pro-vaccine. For sure. I want to get back to normal. I want my normal life back. But I cannot believe I'm about to FaceTime President Biden. I'm honestly, like, I'm shaking. I'm so nervous. But I feel like I can just kind of, you know, I'm glam. You know, she's looking cute. She's feeling festive. And so we're going to just kind of, you know, go with that. But without further ado, let's go ahead and get this Zoom call done with President Biden. I'm going to scream. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. You can call me Joe POTUS if you'd like. President of the United States. But I'll drop the POTUS if you drop the MUA.
Deal. Exactly. There we go. It'll be President Biden and Dr. Fauci. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
Doing fine. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you guys so much for doing this with me. I really, really appreciate it. You guys are absolutely great. I have a couple questions for you guys to answer, if that's okay. This is going to be directed to both of you guys. And my first question is going to be, there's a lot of rumors that are going around that young and healthy people don't need to get the vaccine. You should save it for people who are a little bit older. What do you guys think about that? Both of your guys' thoughts.
Well, certainly young children, even though statistically when they get infected, it's unlikely that they would have a serious disease compared to an elderly person or a person who has an underlying condition, but they are not exempt from getting serious illness. So you want to protect the youngsters, be they adolescents, be they young children, you want to protect them. There's no doubt about it. The other thing that I think people don't appreciate is that even with people who get mild disease or very few symptoms, there's a syndrome that referred to as long COVID, which means you get a syndrome following the clearing of the virus where it could be for months and months that you have symptoms that are profound fatigue, muscle aches, temperature dysregulation, and even an inability to focus or concentrate. So for the person themselves, to protect themselves, but then there's also the responsibility that you have of not being part of spreading the infection throughout the community. So you almost want to take what I call a societal responsibility. Protecting children also protects society.
And Manny, I think that young people, at least I think every generation, that's where most of the idealism comes from. And I think it's an obligation to help your fellow man, an obligation to make sure that even if it's only a small percentage possibility that you could be a carrier of and spread the disease, that you have an obligation. That's what I, you know, one of the reasons I'm so incredibly optimistic about the future, and I'm not being solicitous when I say this, is that we have the most generous, the most informed, the most caring generation coming up. And it's not just people who are, you know, 14, 15, 16, but people in their 20s and early 30s. So I think it's, you know, it's, and by the way, we have enough supply of vaccine. We don't have to worry about it. Everybody can get vaccinated. And I'm not going to ask you, but you should too.
I'm fully vaccinated.
Oh, I can't stand it. I had to shut it off. Talk about clown world, folks. That is pathetic. You know, did you hear some of the lies spewed by Fauci? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And it reminded me of Tom McDonald.
Hi! I'm praying that the world changes soon. Can't get a doobie on a plane, but there's Uzis in our schools. Every dude who touched a boob or a booty getting me too. What you expect from the kids who went to Hooters after school? We're all triggered and defensive. We're all racist and we're sexist. We all grew up watching South Park.
Yeah, and that's the idealistic generation that Biden was talking about. Give me a break, folks. This is clown world, but we have to keep moving. And right now it's time for Ken's World. Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started. Years ago, during the anniversary, I think it was the 500th anniversary of the King James Bible, it was back in 2011, I purchased a reprint of the 1611 edition. And in it, there's a book known as The Wisdom of Solomon. It was originally published in the 1611 edition. In fact, it was in every edition. It was in the Apocrypha and the Pseudo-Apocrypha. So these are not canonical books. Okay, but it remained in the King James Version for about 275 years. And then it was taken out back in, I think it was 1886 or something like that. Now, there's a lot of deceit that happened in that period. You know, if you listen to some of our old podcasts on the Pastor Gipp book, you know, the about the Bible. Remember Westcott and Hort? What I'm saying, folks, is that we have truth taken from us at every corner, including in seminaries and at these Bible translation committees, and we've gotten into all this in the past. But what I'm encouraging you to do is look at this book and have the eyes of a hawk when you do. And look for things the deep state doesn't want you and me to know, to see, to understand, to embrace, and incorporate into our life. You know, these are huge days of spiritual warfare right now. We got to remain strong and press into the kingdom of God. So what I'm encouraging you to do is to just ask the Holy Spirit to shine light in all these areas. You know, this Wisdom of Solomon, it's a good book to gain understanding about what wisdom is and how the Holy Spirit will lead you to it. I just want to read one thing, and then we're going to get on because I've got a really good Back to the Future segment here, but I wanted to share this with you. So this is from the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 7. For the Spirit of the Lord filleth the world, and that which containeth all things hath knowledge of the voice. So I'm encouraging. Just read this. Now, in the past week, I read that article over at the Populist Press about election fraud, and then I started to wonder, you know, does this world even have wisdom? Is it a coincidence that the counties with the highest amounts of adjudicated ballots and all of this scandal and these audits and these forensic examinations of the ballots all happened in the counties that are now fighting tooth and nail to stop the audits? Look at Maricopa County over in Arizona. Look at what's going on here in Pennsylvania. They're trying to stop this investigation into what happened in this primary. And remember what I told you during election day this 2 weeks ago when I asked the I forget her official title, but I asked her about the 19,958 votes for President Trump that disappeared in our little county here in western Pennsylvania, Armstrong County. It's coming out. How about Windham, New Hampshire? You see all of the backlash there, and it looks like the establishment's winning there, and now we just covered Fulton County, Georgia. Folks, it's coming out. But I just wonder if people have wisdom. This week on Raw and Unfiltered on the USA Radio Network, Wayne Allen Root actually had President Trump on, and he asked him about these ongoing audits, these forensic audits that are taking place all over the country. And President Trump's response was typical Trump. He said, I think there's going to be a big problem because when people find out all these states are going to flip, does that mean you go 3.5 years with somebody that is destroying our country? Folks, love him or hate him, the truth is that President Trump is still the legitimate president of the United States. And history was made in 2020 when he received more votes than any other elected president ever in the history of a U.S. presidential race. And then he had all those votes taken from him. But it was a landslide, folks. And look at how they changed this narrative. So the fact still remains that the Democrats stole that election. And I don't want to get into partisan politics. That's not my point. But this is egregious. This is beyond anything I could have imagined. So where's the wisdom? Where's the common sense? I don't see it. You know, there were so many people involved in treason against the American people, we the people. And these audits that are underway are going to prove this unless they get shut down with a false flag like we talked about. So, you know, the cabal, you know, the deep state, the Committee of 300, the Illuminati, call them whatever you want. I like to call them Luciferians. They have attempted to reset the USA and to go along with this great, you know, World Economic Forum reset. They're trying to stop the draining of the swamp. And, you know, the whole thing is, I still believe it's controlled opposition. But, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I just wanted to share that with you. Seek God for wisdom, folks. But right now, I think we have some very eye-opening information in our Back to the Future segment. where we go to the past and bring something back to the future. We take something old and make it new. And that's the point of this episode, folks. Now, you know, if you've been listening to us for any amount of time here, and I say us because there are people that help me behind the scenes. This isn't all about me. In fact, I'm just the guy sitting at the microphone here. But 30 years ago, Dr. Robert Wilner accused Anthony Fauci of genocide. And, you know, Anthony Fauci was involved with Dr. Gallo and the whole gang that tried to push that whole HIV AIDS narrative. But I'd like you to listen to Dr. Wilner and what he has to say, the fraud that they had in the country. And I believe it was a beta test for what they did with coronavirus. This is my own theory, but it's just something I've been thinking about. You know, that whole narrative about AIDS kind of fell apart. And most of the people that were getting sick from the drug they were using to try to treat AIDS. But listen to Dr. Wilner accuse Fauci of genocide over this AIDS crisis. And this was 30 years ago, folks.
We're talking about probably the most horrible scandal and scam ever perpetrated, not only in the name of science, but in humanity and in all history. Today is December 7th, and I was 12 years old when the attack on Pearl Harbor came, and I remember World War II very well. And it's a very significant day today because I see an incredible parallel between what is going on in the so-called AIDS epidemic and what happened in the years preceding and resulting in World War II, the great lie of Hitler. It's amazing. I think he would envy the job being done by members of the National Institutes of Health and even the media, especially in this country. And I will put the lie to the individuals of the NIH, particularly Gallo and Fauci and Hazeltine and Essex and the rest of these scoundrels of the worst order. Criminals guilty of genocide, without a doubt. I invite them to take me to court. I wish Burroughs Welcome would take me to court because they have been putting out a killer drug knowingly. Because in a court of law, I would have the opportunity to provide the absolute proof and evidence, as I have in my book, Deadly Deception. Now, I'm not alone in what I'm doing here today. How does the press escape such obvious truths? Why would the finest virologist in the world, the most noted virologist, member of our National Academy of Sciences, Peter Duisberg, why would he put his entire career on the line? What did he have to gain? He's already lost his laboratory and his funding. We can't take away his professorship because he's tenured.
So there you have another man speaking out years ago, 30 years ago against Fauci, accusing him of genocide with the HIV AIDS AZT scandal. And that's what that was, folks. You know, AZT was a chemotherapy that caused horrific side effects. And yet they started to inject all of these people that tested positive for the HIV virus so they wouldn't get AIDS, and that's exactly what they got. You could look into this. So now let's apply this to the future. So you've got Fauci there who was accused of being a genocidal maniac by Dr. Wilner, and then we've got Dr. Carrie Mullis saying that Fauci doesn't know anything about anything. Listen to Dr. Fauci lie to Senator John Kennedy. And that's J-O-N Kennedy. I think he's from down south, concerning the gain-of-function research. This is a 3-minute and 16-second clip. And at the end, there's another piece of testimony from another expert. And I was going to take it out, but it's just so absurd. And it could have actually been in the Absurdian Report. Talking about a vaccination for drug addicts. Just listen to the lie from Fauci and then how much they're pushing all of this garbage. Listen to this.
Dr. Fauci, I believe you have
testified that you didn't give any money to the Wuhan lab to conduct gain-of-function research. Is that right?
That is correct.
How do you know they didn't lie to you?
Excuse me, sir?
How do you know they didn't lie to you and use the money for gain-of-function research anyway?
Well, we've seen the results of the experiments that were done and that were published, and that the viruses that they studied are on public databases now. So none of that was gain of function. So
how do you know they didn't do the research and not put it on their website?
There's no way of guaranteeing that, but in our experience with grantees, including Chinese grantees, which we've had interactions with for a very long period of time, they're very competent, trustworthy scientists. I'm not talking about anything else in China. I'm talking about the scientists. That you would expect that they would abide by the conditions of the grant, which they've done for the years that we've had interactions.
So you don't think the Chinese would lie to you?
Well, when you say the Chinese are a rather broad group. I know the scientists that we've dealt with have been trustworthy.
Mm-hmm. You think all the scientists have told the truth in terms of the origin of the Wuhan virus and not been influenced by the Communist Party of China, do you?
I don't have enough insight into the Communist Party in China to know the interactions between them and the scientists, sir.
Here's what I'm getting at. You gave them money and you said, don't do gain-of-function research.
Correct.
And they said, we won't.
Correct.
And you have no way of knowing whether they did or not, except you trust them. Is that right?
Well, we generally always trust the grantee to do what they say, and you look at the results.
Have you ever had a grantee lie to you?
I cannot guarantee that a grantee has not lied to us, because you never know.
We're also now running this effort to vaccinate people against methamphetamine. I know that sounds odd, but you could immunize against that compound in a way that it would no longer provide anybody much of a benefit if they decided to use it anyway. We're doing that for heroin and fentanyl, and we're doing it for meth.
But it is very excuse me for interrupting. Does that work if people have already been users?
It will. So basically, getting your immune system to make an antibody so that in the future, if you encounter that drug, it can't get to your brain because the antibodies grab onto it.
Fauci is painting himself in a corner, and I've actually been talking to some of my friends who are awake, and I said, you know, they may offer him up as the sacrificial offering, so to speak. He is out there, folks. And then this from Rand Paul, accusing Fauci of perjury over the gain-of-function research. And this is now fact. People have found all the NIH and NIH grants and the numbers and the patents filed with Fauci's name on it. Folks, the bottom line is he knew. But here's Rand Paul accusing Fauci of perjury over the gain-of-function research testimony in the Senate.
Senator, you introduced an amendment that would ban the funding of gain-of-function research in China. You've also had that vibrant exchange with Dr. Fauci about this a couple of weeks ago, where he told you that NIH has never, does not now, fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Excuse me. So did Dr. Fauci, do you believe he perjured himself in front of Congress on this issue? If so, why?
Absolutely. He lied to the American people. There was gain-of-function research going on with this Dr. Shi Zengali at the Wuhan Institute. In her paper, she actually thanks Dr. Fauci and the NIAID, which is a part of NIH that Dr. Fauci runs. It's listed at the end of the paper. This paper was funded by NIAID Research, and it lists a 10-digit number that identifies the research money that she got from the United States. Was it gain of function? Well, it took a SARS virus, which is a coronavirus that's 15 times more deadly than COVID, and it added to it S-protein, which is something on the surface of it, to make it more easily infectious to human epithelial cells for the respiratory tract. That, to me, is gain of function. We have at least one scientist from Rutgers and another scientist from MIT who looked at this paper and say it is gain of function, and she says she did it with an NIH fund. Dr. Fauci says no. I think he needs to be quizzed, but he goes on these shows and they all yuck it up and laugh and laugh about how everybody's a conspiracy theory, but nobody asks him any tough questions because the left is so enthralled with all his dictates, and he's become sort of this glorious purveyor of truth for the left,
right,
that nobody asks him any tough questions.
You know, folks, Fauci's convicted in my point, at least in the realm of public opinion. Do you remember back in 2017 when Dr. Fauci said that President Trump will face an epidemic in his administration? Here it is.
Back in 2017, at a forum on pandemic preparedness at Georgetown University, Dr. Fauci made an interesting statement. Fauci told the audience the Trump administration will not only be challenged by ongoing global health threats such as influenza and HIV, but also a surprise disease outbreak. That was quite a prediction considering it was back in 2017. Here is the video.
That I have been around for a while and have had the opportunity and the privilege and the pleasure of serving in five administrations. I thought I would bring that perspective to the topic today, is the issue of pandemic preparedness. And if there's one message that I want to leave with you today based on my experience, and you'll see that in a moment, is that there is no question that there will be a challenge to the coming administration in the arena of infectious diseases, both chronic infectious diseases in the sense of already ongoing disease, and we have certainly a large burden of that. But also there will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. There will be a surprise outbreak. And I hope by the end of my relatively short presentation, you will understand why history, the history of the last 32 years that I've been the director of NIAID, will tell the next administration that there's no doubt in anyone's mind that they will be faced with the challenges that their predecessors were faced with.
Folks, he's convicted. Anybody that wants to put this story together, any reporter in the mainstream media, could actually redeem themselves with regard to their standing in the eyes of the American public if they would just run with this information. Folks, if somebody like me and all these other people in alt media can pull this information together, I am certain that a very energetic reporter with a mainstream media news service could do much better than we could do. So I'd like to wrap this whole Back to the Future segment up with a little piece that Jesse Kelly put together, talking about the many contradictions in Dr. Fauci's narrative. In fact, there was a little satire piece. I don't remember if it was at The Onion or where, about Dr. Fauci's many contradictions. And I think there was a video out in there where people just stitched together all the contradictions he had on face masks, vaccines, the epidemic, the scamdemic, as I call it. But listen to Jesse Kelly cover this. And he has some clips in here. It's a 5-minute clip, but it's worth listening to.
It's my job to hold the line. You've heard me yell about the narrative 1,000 times out there, of the narrative on the Mueller report. You remember everybody in the DC GOP, I guess we should have an investigation. Mueller's a public servant. 2 years later, whoa, I can't believe this. And who can forget coronavirus, right? Coronavirus comes out, starts to emerge. There's all these horror stories. We got a scary video from Italy. What's the DC GOP do? Well, I mean, we really need to listen to Dr. Fauci. He is a career, he has a doctorate. He has a white lab coat. Look how trustworthy this career civil servant can be. I'm so sick of that garbage, and now you see it everywhere. It's everywhere you look. Every politician and pundit on the right is all, man, I'll tell you what, this Dr. Fauci guy doesn't seem like he's on the up and up. Well, gee, thanks for being a year late to the party now that we're all already screwed. Look at Dr. Fauci. Just run with it.
Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask.
So if you have a physical covering with one layer, you put another layer on, it just makes common sense that it likely would be more effective. And that's the reason why you see people either double masking or doing a version of an N95.
Highest paid government employee last year. Highest paid. Well, who could forget his rock-solid stance on the vaccine, though?
I doubt seriously that any vaccine will ever be 100% protected. The best we've ever done is measles, which is 97 to 98% effective.
I feel extreme confidence in the safety and the efficacy of this vaccine, and I want to encourage everyone who has the opportunity to get vaccinated so that we could have a veil of protection over this country that would end this pandemic.
And who can forget, what was that word? Gosh, what was that word? Herd immunity. I remember saying things like herd immunity early on. We have to go live our lives early on. We can't wreck the mental health and the economy of a nation early on. And I remember getting called all kinds of names, told I was some kind of wingnut about herd immunity. But let's not forget Dr. Fauci's rock solid stance on it.
You kind of have the herd protection as an umbrella. We're not there yet. That's not a fundamental strategy that we're using. The fundamental strategy that we clearly articulate and go by through the task force is to try to prevent as many infections as you possibly can prevent.
You would need somewhere between 70, 75, maybe 80% of the population vaccinated, between 75 and 80, 85% of the population. If we get that, we would develop a umbrella of immunity that would be able to protect even the vulnerables who have not been vaccinated.
Oh, wow, that's weird. And look, he's always had the same stance, though, on Trump's handling of the pandemic, right?
The coordinated response has been, there are a number of adjectives to describe it. Impressive, I think, is one of them.
I take no pleasure at all in being in a situation of contradicting the president. So it was really something that you didn't feel that you could actually say something and there wouldn't be any repercussions about it. The idea that you can get up here and talk about what you know, what the evidence, what the science is, and know that's it, let the science speak, it is somewhat of a liberating feeling.
Oh, I'm glad you're liberated. I'm sorry that his burden's been so heavy to bear. He is, after all, the highest paid employee in the federal government. The dude makes more than the president of the United States. But setting all that aside, you know what? Let's set Dr. Fauci aside. Let's assume he's just a well-meaning idiot. That's fine. I'm here to talk to the right. You have been late to arriving at the right point on an issue time and time and time and time again. You were late on Mueller. You're late on Fauci and coronavirus. You're late on the St. George Floyd riots. You were late on the insurrection at the Capitol. Late, 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 late. And there is a real human cost for you being late. Because if you don't hold the line, the communists sure aren't going to hold back. Every single time they push a false narrative out there, everybody on the right, well, okay, I guess that's probably true. I mean, after all, everyone's saying it. And then a year later when we're all screwed, you know, woo, they really threw one by me there. I can't believe it. But anyway, I'll try to do better next time. There is a cost to that.
So let's face it, the world is falling apart. But you know, folks, we don't have to fall apart. We as true believers have a promise. Do you ever think about what God's doing in your life? You know, that can be answered in a lot of different ways. You know, some people could say, well, God's not doing anything in my life. To other people like Jonathan Kleck, and I don't know if you listen to Jonathan Kleck, but everything in Jonathan's life is tied to God. And, you know, I love him. He's my brother in Christ. God bless him. And it's just sometimes exciting to listen to Johnny with his enthusiasm, you know. But, you know, people like to take and separate the sacred from the profane. And if you've listened to some of my messages from the past, you know, folks, that everything is spiritual. The question is it holy in the eyes of God, or is it an abomination to God? So God is working in our lives. And there's a lot of different perspectives. And that's a matter of where you're at with regard to your walk. But if you're a believer, here's how God answers that question. It's from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. This is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So remember, we've been talking about what it means to be born again. Remember, I've been talking about the fact that we're triune in nature. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And yes, the soul and spirit are different, and your soul is made up of three parts. Your mind, which is distinct from your brain, your will, and your emotions. Remember, your mind is like the piano player, whereas your brain is like the piano. So we're created triune in nature, and God sanctifying every single part of us. And what's that mean to be sanctified? Well, that means to be set apart, to be prepared for his use by first purifying us of the profane things of the world and making us holy. That's all that word holy means. It means to set us apart. If you're a believer, you should know that Jesus Christ isn't only your Savior, but he needs to be your Lord, and he can't be one without the other. You need them. It's like saying there's only one side to a pancake, folks. You know, every pancake has two sides. And if Jesus is your Savior, then he's your Lord. And conversely, if he's your Lord, he's got to be your Savior. Now, the Bible says whoever believes in their heart that Jesus rose from the grave and confesses with his mouth Jesus is Lord is saved. So here's a point to walk away from this with. God's working in our lives as both our Lord and our Savior. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his first letter, chapter 6, verses 16 through 20. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. So he goes on and encourages us to flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Remember, we've talked about that too, folks. So your spirit is the lamp of the Lord, but a lamp needs oil to show light. And the Holy Spirit is the oil that God puts into your lamp and lights it when you get born again. So what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? And remember, those five wise virgins brought along extra oil in their bodies, which were the vessels. So our body's the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So once we get saved, which is the supernatural experience, which I can't even put words to, our bodies literally become the temples of the Holy Spirit. And then we can become one with God through this supernatural, grace-driven miracle, which goes beyond all words. Okay, but be careful, because we can become one with the wrong spirit through sexual immorality. Remember Manny Moi and that little cast with Fauci and Biden? Well, Manny's confused. Pray for Manny. But Manny has gotten into some strange things with regard to his sexuality. And those things get you into bed with the wrong spirit, so to speak, you know? And what happens is the Holy Spirit is quenched. So how do we avoid this? Well, that requires yielding. We have to yield our bodies and our souls especially, which are very strong. We have to yield them over to God. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 5, verses 16 through 17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. You know, folks, could you imagine trying to take directions from two people, two masters? Paul's basically saying you can't do that. You're just going to be in this constant conflict. You know, I just heard this on the news last night about the busiest airport in the United States. It's the airport in Atlanta, Georgia, and they handle over 900,000 flights per year with over 40 million passengers going through that airport. To put that into perspective, I think now that Pittsburgh International lost their hub with U.S. Air, what a scandal that was too, after billions of dollars were spent by the local taxpayers here to build that world-class airport. Now we have maybe 2.5 million flights a year. So there's 40 million passengers in Pittsburgh Airport. There's 40 million passengers in the Atlanta airport, so it's 20 times larger. Imagine that. Now, picture this. All these airports have a control tower, which gives directions to the flights coming in and going out. Well, picture two towers giving two sets of commands. What would you have? You'd have total chaos. Like Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. Well, this has been the human condition prior to the good news of the gospel. It's been a mess. And it's a mess in all of us. Praise the Lord that we can have this gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And this goes all the way back to the fall in Genesis 3. But praise the Lord, through the work of the cross, we can be sanctified. He is sanctifying us. He's setting us apart. The very God of peace is sanctifying you and me wholly in body, soul, and spirit, preserving us blameless until he returns. Isn't that great? So in the midst of all this craziness in the world, we can be made whole through Jesus Christ. And all we have to do is surrender. He's sanctifying us. So picture this. Adam and Eve, they were made perfect through this supernatural creation event, yet they both fell to sin. And then what did God say? God said, you're going to die. If you sin, you shall surely die. But they didn't die, did they? They hid in the woods and they covered themselves with fig leaves. You know the story. But they did die. They died instantly in the spirit, progressively in the soul, and ultimately in the flesh. You know, Noah and all those people pre-Noahic, everybody from Adam to Noah and everybody in between, they lived to be 900 years old. And then ultimately they died. But it says in Genesis 6 that they started to degrade in their thinking. They got into stinking thinking. So they degraded over time in their soul. But they died instantly in the spirit. So the light light in the lamp, you know, the spirit of man, that light went out. So they didn't have spiritual sight anymore because they had no spiritual light. And then ultimately, they started to lose their spiritual eyes. Their soul was cut off. You know, in other words, they went from being guided by God's authority to their own authority. Remember, I was talking about authority, and the great civilizations of the West were founded upon truth, and they derived all authority from truth. Yet now, in this twisted world, we derive truth from authority. So if you have Dr. Fauci up there talking, Dr. Fauci becomes the truth. But we know that's falling apart, don't we? Now, remember we talked about Zoe life, and that's life in the spirit. That's the best way to live. Yet sadly, Adam and Eve and everybody that followed from them, from the first Adam, lost the benefits of a Zoe life. And then things started to go wrong. People got sick. People got fearful. People got into all sorts of trouble because they were out there on their own, and that led ultimately to their physical deaths. So the soul life, yeah, it's a one of independence. And didn't you remember Manny and Moi? Yeah, free will. We're free to do whatever we want. Yeah, right. Folks, soul life, this life of independence, leads to nothing but sickness and death. And we see that in our church too. Our churches are dying because they're misinterpreting this. We're supposed to be living a life of sacrifice. We're supposed to be living a life of surrender. Yet we're not. So folks, if you want to live an abundant life, if you want to be sanctified, you get one more vote. And if you vote yes for this vote, it'll be your last vote. And that's a vote to surrender to Jesus. And it will truly be your last independent vote. Now, when Adam and Eve voted, they voted to leave the garden. They voted to go out on their own. They voted to say no to God and yes to themselves. But you and me, through the power of the cross, can vote to allow God into our lives, to put our hands up and surrender, saying, forsaking all, I trust him, and allowing God to come into our lives and regenerate our spirit, to pour some oil into that lamp and to light it, and allow our soul and body to be sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit, renewing our minds. Now, wouldn't that be great? Who wouldn't want that? You know that saying, the truth will set you free? There is no greater truth than that, folks. Yet, won't you agree that there's a holdout in your mind? There's a holdout in your body? You know, St. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. You know, I do what I don't want to do. Oh, dreadful man that I am, you know. That's like the dead man that's hanging on him, you know. Then he kind of gets a solution to it over in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where he says, but be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may be proven that which is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God. So what God's trying to do, okay, is fix the brokenness in our lives. And the way we start that process is by just surrendering to him. You know, think about it like this. You want to get saved. You surrender. God starts working in your life. And then there's this process of sanctification that has to happen. And if you've ever moved, and you kind of do it in a process. You look at all your stuff. And you remember George Carlin's story on stuff? Well, you have your pile to keep. That's your one pile of stuff. Then you have your pile of stuff to give away, to give the Salvation Army or St. Vincent de Paul or even Goodwill. Then you have your junk pile, and that goes out to the garbage. Well, think about the process that's going on in your body right now, the process of sanctification. There's the stuff you want to keep, the new man, the spirit-filled life, the sanctified mind, the mind of Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. And then there's the stuff you want to give away. It may not be bad, but it's just not worth pursuing anymore. Maybe it's your time with the golf club every Saturday morning. And folks, I used to do that. And it wasn't that it was bad. It just wasn't fruitful. There was no value to it. So I gave it away. And then there's the junk pile, the old man, the sinful way, the addictions, the sins, the things that came between you and knowledge of God, you know? Those things you want to get away. And then think about it. Think about coming to Jesus Christ in the same way that you'd think about moving. Moving from one kingdom to another. The kingdom of the prince of this world to the kingdom of the King of glory. You know, we can do that. And all we have to do is ask God for help process. And he even tells you how he'll help you through his word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So he's going to help us, folks. He's going to help us get through all of this and separate those good things from the bad things. But remember this last thing. We have to surrender our will to his will for this to be accomplished. Now, this may offend you. And what it's actually offending is some of that old man that's left in you, your soulish man. I know it did it to me. When I first heard this, I was offended by it, folks. But if you just put your hands up and say, forsaking all, I trust him, there's some sort of supernatural process that happens, and his perfection will start to manifest in you. In the Bible, Luke chapter 22, verse 42, it says, if thou be willing, this is Jesus now, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, Father. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Folks, think about that. Think about just saying, not my will, but thy will, Lord. Father God, I pray that the people who have heard this take it to heart. Etch it in their hearts, Father, that we need to surrender to you, and we need to allow you to perfect us as this world falls apart. And then, Lord, I pray that we can go out this week in confidence, knowing that you're doing this good work in us and you're holding us together in the midst of all the craziness that's happening in this world. Lord, I pray that in the name and precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And folks, I just want to encourage you, in the words of Winston Churchill, to never give in, never give in, never.
Never give in, never give in, never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in, except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
And folks, never forget this. Never forget that that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, that spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, lives in you. And he lives in me, and we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. Folks, I love you, and provided the Lord's willing, I'll be back next week. So let's lift up our hands and praise the Lord with Jeremy Camp and the same power.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times we are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and the victory is in Jesus.